everyone, it's Chloe, and I'm so excited to share something fabulous with you, Vogue's first ever global fashion community, Vogue Club. Our members get to mingle with Vogue editors, yes, including me, and fellow fashion enthusiasts at exclusive events around the world. And that's just the start. Membership opens doors to the fashion industry, bringing you expert career advice and insider style and beauty tips. What are you waiting for? Head over to Vogue.com/membership to join, and here's a little treat. Use code TRT20 and snag 20% off your membership. That's TRT20 for 20% off your ticket to Vogue Club. Are you in?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal and shop authentic handbags, watches, sneakers, streetwear, and jewelry from eBay, backed by Authenticity Guarantee. Visit eBay.com for terms.
This is The Run-Through. I'm Chloe Mel.
And I'm Cho Minardi. And on today's episode, we're talking to fashion icon Chloe Sevigny. I don't even know if fashion icon really sums it up. She's just like everything, right?
Every icon. We were saying this morning that her Life and Looks video that she did for Vogue.com is like the gold standard of life and looks. It's so good.
Isn't it? Oh my God. And she just did a really great video for Vogue France too about like which trend she's embracing. I highly recommend it.
She's so fabulous.
Yes, she is. And she was on with costume designer Lou Eirich, who is the costume designer of the fabulous show The Feud, which we've all been watching. In fact, I think maybe you've binge-watched the whole thing already?
Of course I have. I've watched the whole thing. And just for the full title, because there have been several Feud
several
installments.
Feuds, my bad.
This is new Feud, to the Feud Capote series. Versus the Swans. And I have to say, we have been talking about this show for many weeks in the Vogue offices. Some of us had screeners that we watched rabidly. And now, finally, it is upon us. Happy Feud Week to those who celebrate.
We don't have it in the UK yet. I'm so mad. But I've been obviously been treated to some screeners. So
yes.
I'm still working my way through them. But I was literally hooked from the first. Ooh, that opening scene. I won't give it away, but
it's really fun. Alert. Gus Van Sant directed it. It's Tom Hollander plays Capote, and he's so fabulous. All the ladies who play the Swans are great. It's beautifully done. And I'm not just saying this because we had her on the podcast, but I really do think that Lou Eirich being so scrupulous with the costumes being realistic, and she has paid such painstaking detail to realism and recreating these looks. I mean, I was fascinated by hearing how she searched high and low for real Mambouche suits for CZ Guest. And I'm excited for everyone to hear about our conversation with her and the other Chloe. Now, Choma, we chatted last week about the couture week and the couture shows, but that was before the tectonic shift of the earth that was the Margiela couture show that you missed in person.
I feel like, oh my God, it feels like before that show and after that show, not everything is going to be viewed through.
Before Margiela and after Margiela.
After Margiela. It was just, I mean, I don't know about you, but I felt like I was there because it completely took over my feed from the kind of transformative makeup, that kind of like...
Well, describe it for our listeners who maybe aren't as... Their algorithm isn't as specific as yours.
Right. So basically, starting with the makeup, because there are lots of elements of the show. Starting with the makeup, if you think of the glossy...
Well, who's the designer? What is the show? Give us... Okay. Go, start it.
I'll rewind.
Zero.
From zero. So Jean Galliano is a creative director of Margiela, obviously famously was a creative director of Dior for many, many years. And he's always been known for these like hugely dramatic theatrical shows, which bring you, you know, I've used this word a couple of times, I think, in the last few weeks, but world builder. Like, he's the world builder of world builders. And his shows have always been epic. And I think his, for many editors, last season, his ready-to-wear show for Margiela was a favorite. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of, I don't know if I'm going to be able to describe the clothes in accuracy, because it was difficult to tell when you were watching, like, what was actually real and what wasn't, what was prosthetic. But many of the models had these like amazing hourglass outfits that were created with corsetry and also some additions on the hip.
It was a great celebration of the body. We had a wonderful freelance writer, Jocelyn Silver, wrote a piece about how this felt like one of the more authentic celebrations of various body types. And it was so sumptuous. And Gwendolyn Christie, the Game of Thrones actress, who's a great fashion file, she walked in the show. And Pat McGrath did this spectacular makeup that everyone is still talking about.
Yeah, and I mean, think about the glazed donut trend and take it on acid, because it was basically this very glossy, almost kind of doll-like skin that was, I think they used face peels to achieve it, but it was like,
well, we're finding out today, Jess Diner, global beauty director, has an exclusive interview with Pat that is revealing the product that created the look.
And I heard many of the models were there a week. And I mean, the preparation for it was insane. I know that, obviously Galliano spent months and months on the details, but many of the models were there for a week to sort of practice and have their prosthetics fitted. And yeah, so I think it was quite the undertaking, quite a feat.
Break it down for our listeners. Why, for people who maybe are not as deeply versed in the,
why this moment felt really agenda setting. Because I think, you know, in the past year, we've seen a lot of how fashion has become so practical, right? And so many of the collections that we've seen, you know, there's this real gear shift at Gucci with Sabato De Sarno, and him kind of wiping the slate clean and being it about the craft and about the clothes and less about the sort of big vision and the world building, right? And just getting to the clothes, right? And I think we've seen that across the board. We've come through this era of quiet luxury, and it feels like fashion is just like fashion capital F has kind of taken a back seat. And then we were sort of reminded about what it feels like to have this emotional experience at a show where you feel moved. And I think that's what I was responding to. And for everyone who I know who was at the show, that was that feeling, that goosebumps feeling that you go when you get to a show, which actually feels like it's like theater, it's like drama. And the models were characters. They weren't kind of like anonymous, you know, they each had their own character. And we all want fashion that has personality, right? Because we all want it to enhance our own personalities and to be an extension of who we are or the character we want to be that day in that moment. And I think that's what made it so, you know, so inspiring to so many people, because I think a lot of people have felt like, yeah, practical fashion is good, but like, make me dream again, a little bit. Does that sum it up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, I feel so removed. What, it's Super Bowl? It's Super Bowl soon, right?
No, don't worry, Choma. It's not right now.
Isn't it Feb 2nd?
Stand down. It is absolutely not February 2nd. Mark Jacobs' show is February 2nd.
Oh, God.
Let's start in chronological order. Let me walk Choma through the cultural calendar for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
On Friday, February 2nd, tomorrow, we have the Mark Jacobs show at the Armory. He likes to, you know, shake things up. He likes to go off calendar.
I'll be watching from afar.
Yes. So Mark is showing tomorrow. It is his 40th anniversary, which is crazy to think about. And as always, talk about agenda setting. I do feel like the Mark show is always a real barometer for the way things are going to go, and what we're excited about and paying attention to. Then this weekend, this Sunday, is the Grammys, which seems to be like...
Oh my God, it's the Grammys!
Yes!
I forgot that the Grammys is happening.
It's like a night of a thousand women. It's so fun. All the people nominated are women. Joni Mitchell is performing. We're doing actually, British Vogue is doing a great slideshow of all our favorite images of Joni Mitchell. And
go team!
Yes. And then next weekend, in the peak in the middle of Fashion Week, is the Super Bowl at the same time as Ludovic de Saint-Sernin, which Nicole Phelps is very upset about. But I feel like the Venn diagram of people who care about Ludovic de Saint-Sernin and the Super Bowl is probably slim.
Wow. Okay, it's going to be a fun-packed couple of weeks.
If you had asked me a few months ago, would I start a Monday morning meeting at Vogue with football talk, I would have said, you fools. And yet, Monday morning, all we could discuss was, one, the red guest-in-residence sweater that sold out immediately when Taylor wore it. Two, will Taylor make it to the Super Bowl, which Emma Spector wrote a very funny piece about because she's performing in Tokyo the night before.
Oh, God.
And there's just a lot of Super Bowl chatter to be had and much Taylor and Travis anticipation.
Wow. I mean, she's had a rough week. I felt so bad about all the horrible AI scandal on X.
It's interesting to see how those battles will play out and affect, you know, how that technology is used and moderated.
I hope that she, if anyone can get them to act right, these companies to be regulated, maybe it's her.
Well, that was actually Emma's headline. If anyone can control AI or check AI, it's Taylor Swift.
Well, great minds.
Yeah.
I had a fun moment last night.
Tell us.
I went to the Bob Marley premiere here, which was really fun.
Oh, yeah. With adorable Kingsley Benadire.
Oh, my God.
So
he's
handsome.
So great in it. So handsome. I could just look at his face all day. Like, and, like, he moves like Marley. He sounds like Marley. I mean, the soundtrack is really fun.
If you haven't picked it up yet, he is the actor who plays Bob Marley.
Yes. Homegrown talent. He's British. Mm-hmm. So it was really, really fun watch. The two main stars are amazing. And guess what? It's called One Love, and it comes out on Valentine's Day. So go see it.
Oh, that's cute.
Big plug.
The Run Through will be back in just a moment.
We've all been there before. You're planning a dinner party or having family over or even just cooking for yourself when all of a sudden it starts to feel overwhelming.
I live in a very small one-bedroom apartment with a very small kitchen.
I can't figure out what to serve besides water soup at this point.
I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious, and this is Dinner SOS, a new podcast from Bon Appetit. Maybe it's a last-minute party with no menu inspiration, a kitchen with no space, a toddler who will only eat buttered pasta. Name your dinner emergency. We're here to help. Here's how the show works. On each episode, we'll take a call from a home cook facing a real dinner emergency. Then I'll work with one of our editors or someone from our amazing test kitchen to try and solve it. Because cooking for the people you love should inspire joy without a side of stress. Make sure you're following Dinner SOS wherever you're listening now.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? Maybe a chef-grade range made you want to hone your cooking skills, or a high-tech tennis racket made you want to work on your backhand. I recently bought a new pair of running shoes, and that made me love hitting the pavement again. Well, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
And we're back. The Vogue office has been extremely activated by feud Swans, Capote versus the Swans. And we have such fabulous archive material on all of the Swans and also Capote himself. So the show is about this feud between him and these high society women in the 70s who were his best friends, who he wrote a sort of incendiary piece for Esquire that was very thinly veiled, almost hit piece about them and revealed a lot of their intimate secrets and their private lives, and they never forgave him. And it was all supposed to be part of a novel called Answered Prayers that he never finished writing. And so Vogue does have the piece that Capote wrote about why he never finished it. So you should read that. And the show is just a wonderful celebration also of old school New York, which is fun to watch. They've been called the original Real Housewives by the show creator, who is Ryan Murphy. And yeah, I don't want to say too much, but there's a lot of ladies lunching, but it's much juicier than that.
The show was created by Ryan Murphy, who, as you'll hear in our interview, was a long, long time Swans fan. And the cast, oh my God. Well, where do I begin? Obviously, you have Chloe, who's playing Cece Guest. Then Naomi Watts as Babe Paley. Demi Moore is Anne Woodward.
Anne Woodward is a very fascinating detail there. And actually, Elise Taylor did a great Who is Anne Woodward and Did She Actually Kill Her Husband piece that I recommend
I was
people
that,
read.
Her character, wow. I was like, I know. Wow. Diane Lane was a slim Keith. And then you had Calista Flockhart as Lee Radzwill. Ugh. Molly Ringwald, who I was so pleased to see, was Joanne Carson. And of course, Truman Capote is played by Tom Hollander.
Everyone's great. Can't wait. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us because let me tell you, the Vogue offices in New York are losing their minds over Swans. And we were searching for Cece Guest's house story from Vogue and we couldn't find it. And finally, one of our writers realized her mistake, which is that you have to search by her husband's name, Mrs. Winston Guest. It's not even searchable by Cece.
Oh, that is, come on, Vogue. We got to do better.
Exactly. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about Swan style and jumping in. Like, what was your entry point for Swanville? Did you read Answered Prayers? Did you know about all these women?
I had known about Answered Prayers. I have actually a first edition. Mm. I was a huge fan of Truman starting like in high school. I think I saw an image of him very young and languid, kind of leaning on a couch, and I was just instantly drawn in by him and seduced by him. I, you know, we love an enfant terrible. And just seeing, you know, clips of him on TV and his personality and how larger than life he was, and then reading all of his works and this kind of scene that created around him, I was just enthralled by him. And then his writing, his personality, his look, these women he collected. And I knew a bit about the Swans, but not so much about each of them specifically. Oddly, I knew the most about CZ, which is funny that then I was cast as her.
Why do you think you knew most about her?
I don't know. I guess maybe just because she loomed largest as like the style icon, at least in like my personal lexicon. Maybe people had like made reference to her over and over because my mother actually looks quite a lot like her.
Oh, funny.
Way more. My mother is like a classic beauty. I'm a little bit more of a wonky beauty, which people are just going to have to deal with.
I disagree.
I'm intrigued that you knew most about CZ. Lou, who do you think, what was the Swan style that you were most familiar with?
Well, when I met Ryan in 1999, he was obsessed with the Swans, so I knew a little bit about him, but he referenced them all the time. Almost every project we've done, he'd be like, "Oh, like Slim Keith, or like by like Nan or Gloria," But and because we often referenced the Slim Aaron photography as well in a lot of our shows, and CZ was the most prominent in those photos. So I didn't know a lot about CZ personally, but I knew of her look and that she, you know, we tried to emulate it all the time. And she had such a refined elegance, but she was also sporty and smart and fun. And so I did gravitate towards her. Slim, I loved in the 40s. I loved all her crop jackets and the strong shoulders. And she was like a simple beauty and kind of like wore a lot of menswear. So I was also drawn to that. But those are the two that were standouts for me.
And this isn't the first time, Lou, that you're working, you and Chloe are working together. I know that you collaborated before on American Horror Story. What is it like working together? What's your process?
I'll just say the first time, American Horror Story season two, Asylum. You know, to me, sorry, Chloe, but you were an icon to me. So it was a little bit mixed, like excited and scared, because she has such a knowledge of fashion. But luckily, this was very not fashion season. So that was good. But for me, it was just that the approach that Chloe has is like, let's find the character. And, you know, it might be in the pages, but yeah, but let's see what works for my body, for this character. And I love that approach.
And Chloe, tell me, I mean, the costumes must be the fun part for you often, but tell me what it's like to work with Lou, what you really liked working about with Lou.
I love all of Lou's work, you know, through the years that she's done with Ryan. I'm just like, every season she outdoes herself. And it was her specificity, especially this season with the swans, you know, was incredible. Like if we're doing a scene from 1977, she would find like, you know, from a Givenchy 77 collection, specific suit dress or something. So like, that was like, I was really in awe. And you know, I wanted to ask Lou about on this podcast. I know it's not mine, but I was curious. She said she was finding
it
more and more difficult to find vintage. Ooh. Which I was surprised by, considering there's such a huge vintage market. I mean, we know all the like slightly worn stuff, but she says like the vintage market is kind of disappearing. And I don't know if people are buying it up and just having it in archive houses or like, where is it all going? And I remember I did a big sale recently and my friend's like, hold on to your real vintage because it's going to be gone. I was like, oh, you're crazy. And then Lou said that. And I was like, well, if she says that, part two of this question is, how does one become a buyer for Lou? Because I feel like that would be a really coveted job.
Really?
Three things. The first one is, this true story, asked Chloe several times during prep, where else can I look for this vintage? And she gave me names of several people to go see, which was great. And second is I am known to be a bit exhaustive in my fittings, especially for the weaker actors who don't like fittings. But my motto is like, I don't want to put anyone on screen if they don't feel good in it and it doesn't look good and it's going to reflect on them once we air. So I am very meticulous, and I apologize to anybody I've tortured in fittings for that reason. The other one is a shopper for me. I'm sure it's completely exhausting as well, because I'm very picky.
Or precise, and I imagine you can't reveal your vintage sources because that would be giving it.
Oh, no, that's right. Let me circle back to that. A lot of museums are scooping up the real
interesting
designers.
Okay. You know, okay, like, that makes
especially
sense.
Especially like the Adolfo twin sets, you know, like in vintage, you might find a jacket, but you won't find the skirt. But So a lot of those ensembles are being scooped up. The Mamboche, or some say Mambocher, some say Mamboche. So CZ was personal friends with Mamboche, and he didn't make a lot of personal custom dresses for people, but he did for CZ, and she wore a lot of it. We couldn't find a single Mamboche. We found one
interesting
coat.
So you had to recreate, like, how much, Lou, of what the swans wore in the show was vintage and how much was recreation?
Well, I wanted it to be like 90% vintage, because I don't like the look of a made-to-order show. You can always tell because the fabrics aren't what they used to be. And especially for TV, the pace, you have like 4 days to prep. So for a tailor to hand make something and make it look not homemade, it's like, it's a lot of pressure. I'd say we made about 40% and 60% was real. I wanted a lot more, but for Chloe, we got lucky We found beautiful Celine sets and a couple Hermes shirt dresses. And for CZ was more in real life, practical and not frilly. She was a known equestrian and she loved her garden. So we tried to, if I can speak for Chloe and I, we tried to keep that realness, but with style, because she was also known for her style. So that was the clothes for CZ were actually almost all the original. We made a couple of pieces, her blue Thanksgiving caftan, but we got lucky.
These aspects of CD's personality, I think the writers really leaned into to differentiate her from the other swans, that, you know, she was getting her hands dirty in gardening and she was working, and she's the more sympathetic of the swans. And of course, he didn't throw her under the bus in Le Côte Basque, so she didn't have reason to really have a feud with him.
And just
so
for people who don't know, just to interrupt you, Chloe, the Côte Basque was the name of the essay that Truman published in Esquire about the swans. That was the big scandal. And then the unfinished novel was then called Answered Prayers. But I do feel like people assume that the essay was also called, that the piece was called Answered Prayers.
There's a lot of titles to keep track of, let's be honest.
That's true.
And then there's Le Capote and the Women that yes. we, you know, heavily referenced. And but I do also want people to know that, you know, we are kind of focusing more on the later years. So like there are these amazing photos of like CZ and Truman on the dance floor at Studio 54, but it's not like the CZ of the 40s. It's not slim, sexy. It's like her in like a dowdy skirt and like a sweater set. And is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Hi, we're Carlene and Jill, hosts of Breaking Beauty Podcast, the show all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty.
On our show, you're going to find hella inspiring guests like Emily Weiss of Glossier,
and you'll get beauty tips galore from the top pros in the industry, like Kim Kardashian's makeup guru, and you'll hear skincare secrets from the likes of Dr. Pimple Popper.
Plus, you'll get shopping help with our Damn Goods episodes, where we review the latest products hitting store shelves to let you know what's actually worth your money.
Listen every Wednesday to Breaking Beauty Podcast.
I know how hard it is to find the perfect gift for Mother's Day. My mom is one of those people who seems to have everything. But still, I want to find her something that makes her day special. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has you covered with the perfect gifts to make mom feel special. Shop at Macy's.com/gift finder for the best gifts for your Mother's Day.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Chloe, do you have a group of New York City friends that are like your swans? Like, what's your Côte Basque and who's there?
Yeah, I have like a group of girlfriends, and I had a 3-year-old son now, but pre him, there was like a lot of like, I would host a lot of like girls only dinners, which I really liked, and maybe a couple gays, which is very much the wheelhouse of Capote versus the swans.
I mean, I heard that didn't CZ also design sweaters? Are there any of those in the ether?
We never found any of her designs, sadly. You know, actually, Chloe turned me on to the gentleman in the East Village who did have one piece, original CZ, but it was damaged and not what we were looking for.
I am new to the swans. I am this show has completely got me obsessed with the swans, and obviously working at Vogue, I don't know how I didn't fall down this rabbit hole of amazing
truly
socialites. I know. Somehow, like, But obviously you see that Slim Aaron's photography, there's an archive of their looks, but did any of them conserve their actual, the archive of their clothes? Because I mean, I imagine.
And pull like a Kim K with the Maryland dress. They wore that.
I think CZ donated some to the Metropolitan, didn't she?
Yeah, the Met has a whole selection. We were able to, one of our archivists went to the Met and took pictures. There's a lot of CZs, but it's mostly gowns. And then Babe Paley and Lee Radswell, their stuff is also there. But we never were able to reach out to any family members, so I don't know. I think that was the trick with Chloe and I with CZ at this time period, is a lot of the photos were of her younger and always dressed up, like a ball, or you know, it was all gowns. It was hard to find good everyday stuff. What we could find would be her in a sweatshirt in the garden.
And then Choma was actually in attendance at your sale last year. And
I was.
I love hearing about everyone who got pieces from that. Like, did you know that Olivia Rodrigo got a dress and was wearing it? I found that extremely charming in her Vogue profile.
That's great.
I saw that in Vogue. I mean, I don't think she was actually in the room. I wonder if she had a friend that was there buying. But there's been so many instances. Like, I was at the CFDAs and this girl came up to me and she was wearing one of my old Dolce & Gabbana dresses.
Oh my God.
I was at like a dinner for Bottega Veneta and there was some girl from New York Magazine taking photos and she was wearing my old like Phoebe for Celine shoes. And then I ran to like Tommy Dorfman somewhere and they were wearing like old Chanel bag and just like I keep having these. I was at the Morrissey concert a few weeks ago and there was a kid wearing this old like black denim a coat that I had hand sewn like a Morrissey t-shirt on the back.
Oh my God.
And he was wearing it. We like took a picture together and my friends were like, why the hell did you sell that thing?
Okay, but so that's my question, because I have this problem where I give things away to my friends and then I see them wearing it and I'm like the evil stepsisters in Cinderella and I'm like, I want that back once I see someone else in it. Has that happened to you when you see your like Dolce in real situ?
No, because I'd had it for so many years. Like, I feel like I've always just been so into, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle. So like it's been a constant kind of evolution. My closet and my storage. But funny enough, when Lou was mentioning how mostly they've saved gowns, that's kind of mostly what I've saved too.
Interesting.
Like things I wore to different events or premieres. And like, for some reason, we hold on to the gowns thinking that's what's going to be like, you know, desirable. But you're like, people really want the jeans and t-shirts. So like, you should hold on to those too.
How do you store those? Are they just like in your closet? Or are they in a different place in your basement? I don't know.
Well, I started working with the digital archivist in Los Angeles. She has a lot of big clients, some of who you're not allowed to mention, but she also works with Tom Ford. And so I was like, if I keep holding on to all of these things, I may as well store them properly.
Yeah.
And she has a whole facility in California. And then if I need something like Loewe, Jonathan had made me want one of my three wedding outfits. Yes, I had three.
Oh,
and
epic.
And then they invited me to show in Paris. I was like, wow, the atelier put so much work into this dress. Wouldn't it be fun to wear it to the party in Paris? So, you know, she shipped it to me and I wore it there and then I shipped it back. So that's kind of an extravagance, but I'm thinking like one day, perhaps, you know, it'll go for charity. Then I can also back pay the... in the practical sense.
I'll say one thing real quick about Chloe's closet is I worked with her for six, seven months straight. Never saw you wear the same thing twice.
Are there anything from the Swans that you've taken from this series since, both of you, Lou and Chloe? Are there things like style signatures or ways of being or habits that you feel like, oh, I'm gonna resurrect that?
I feel like I was shaken when Babe was like, never a white tablecloth. I mean, there were so many rules for how to live that came out in that show.
For me, it inspired me to get out of my baggy clothes as much and not dress so much like a boy all the time. It got me feeling like a little more ladylike. But that's it for me.
I think there's also like my mother was very, you know, having me reference like Emily Post to write all my thank you notes. And she really tried to instill like a lot of, I think, the things that the Swans found important in life. And I think a lot of people poo-poo manners and formalities as like a class thing, but I think it also just helps everyone function better. And like, I think that like instilling that in my son, I feel like now I really is important to me, and table manners, and things that just like make you a more pleasant person.
I want to know what life was like on set.
Yeah, we were still kind of in the throes of COVID. A couple of the Swans actually fell ill during the shoot, so there wasn't a lot of
socializing.
Yeah, it was still a mask situation.
Okay, because when did you film?
It was over a year ago.
We started October, November, December, January, February.
And then at the end at wrap, we did have like Tom, who plays Capote, organized a big dinner and with all the Swans. And that was really fun to be able to let loose, you know.
Where was that
COVID
dinner?
Be damned. I think it was at Via Carrata because he had been eating there a lot because he was like staying at a friend's house around the corner. But I will say the mood was pretty light. I mean, everybody was happy to be working. We were like happy to be around one another. And I was the most surprised by Naomi's sense of humor. She's very witty and kind of the lightest of everyone. And she kept buoying the whole, you know, ensemble.
I mean, there are so many epic fashion scenes, but I guess the ball, the black and white ball, which I did know about before I watched The Swans. I heard that Zach Posen designed all the dresses.
He designed the 8 dresses for the Swans, yes.
What was that process like? It seems like he's the perfect designer for that.
It was perfect. He was perfect for that. And he personally knew a lot of the Swans already, the actresses already, and had worked with them. So it was comfortable, I think. And when Ryan and I met with Zach about it, it is his wheelhouse, and fashion design is far from my wheelhouse. So it was very a fun process for me. I was fascinated watching him from sketch to the first fitting.
And so they were all based on the designs that really
loosely
specifically
based
or loosely.
Ryan was very hands-on with this one, with every single dress. He worked closely with Zach on it and wanted it elevated and a little more fantastical than what they really wore.
And last question, because I'm just so fascinated by all the details that go into the costume design and making it seem realistic. I know that Truman Capote was quite petite. How did you make Tom appear to be shorter, or did you have to sort of bump up the height for some of the Swans? What were some tricks that you had to use, Lou, to...
Good question. Capote was 5'3".
Oh, wow.
Tom,
wow. Like me.
Tom was 5'5", 5'5 and a half.
Oh, okay.
So we made sure to keep him in nothing taller than like a little loafer. We did do tricks like when Chloe had to walk alongside Capote on the street going to the hat store. We cheated and put her in a nice, like a 4-inch loafer style. I think it was Celine or Chloe, and it still had the toe of a 70s shoe, but it really gave her a lift, so she did tower above him. We did that with all of them. It was tricky.
I bet.
I will say Truman's costumes, oddly enough, are like some of my favorite from the show. I mean, he, you know, was really embracing kind of flamboyance, and he had so much fun with clothing and dressing, and I think people are going to be really entertained by like some of the looks that Lou got to recreate for him, and just the way Tom owns the character, wears the clothes, and it's just so much fun.
That's it for today's episode. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. The Run for Revogue is a production of Condé Nast Entertainment.
The show is produced by Susie Lechtenberg, Chelsea Daniel, and Alex John Burns. It's engineered by Jake Loomis and Gabe Quiroga and mixed by Mike Kutchman.
See you soon.
Bye.
I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Emisha Gormley.
We are two best friends with one common obsession.
Beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful. We've tried it all, and we've got your back. We'll be calling on all our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions. Consider us your beauty 411, and sometimes your 911.
From how to fix brassy hair,
to the pros and cons of laser facials,
and always with a cocktail in hand.
Always. So be prepared to be obsessed. Check out Lipstick on the Rim wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. From PRX.